Yeah. Five killers arise from graves. The within, they shed the dead weight of morals and sins. Set loose by Zeus, declare space time, and lead the murderous horde known as Experience Grind.
Greetings, listeners, and welcome to Experience Grind Podcast, the podcast about getting older and the experiences we gain from movies, games, and pop culture. I'm Ryan, this week's host, and this week, we're gonna get musical again. We're talking about our favorite needle drops across movies and TV. And, transition into, who's with me today. I've tried to love deeper, and I spoke sweeter. I watched an eagle as it was flying, but you know what? Someday, I hope you get the chance to live like you were Brian.
Wow. First of all, I am honored. My favorite needle drop is in a haystack.
I love it. Gonna be a tough one to find and follow up with.
That's the fun.
Luckily, if I could fall into the sky, do you think time would pass me by? Because you know I'd talk to 1,000 Kyles.
I had a different needle drop joke, but after Brian's, my wiener is the needle that drops in the haystack because it's so small.
Oh.
Get it? Get it? Oh. Huh?
That's
Does it drop, though, if it's so small?
Oh, that's a good question.
Or is it like a
It's so small, you'll never know.
That's fair.
It's Schrodinger's wiener. Is it or is it not there?
I'm sure we could find out.
And if I claim to be a wise man, it surely means I don't know. So carry on, my wayward Sean.
Wow. You know, my Sean favorite was a tough needle drop is Amanda in Saw 2.
Okay. Oh, I see what you did there.
Ooh, that's a rough one. Ooh.
For her, maybe. That was entertaining as fuck.
Ryan, can I just say that that's is one that of my favorite intros of all time.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah. And I thought I had the best one, but then you came in with Sean's, and now I'm just jealous.
Yeah.
Sean was also at one point going to be Bang-a-Gong, but then as I read through the lyrics, it's Bang a Sean, get it, Sean, get it on. There's no way to make it not very sexual. And I was like, yeah, this might not be great.
Bang a Gong, okay. Get it, Sean.
There's peace now that you're done.
Ooh. I went.
This one also
appears
maybe a little sad and memorial-esque. And I was like, oh, it makes it sound like Sean dead.
That's not good. Nah, you're just, you know, I'm also a sad boy. So it really worked out. It's music. Sad boy.
I also wish you all one day get the chance to live like you were Brian.
That is what something I dream to achieve.
I mean, I wish I had that fucking Sonic hoodie right now.
It's a good hoodie.
Yeah, I'm going to try to lucid dream that tonight.
Good luck. Let me know how it turns out.
Spoilers. It will not happen. Let me pull back the curtain on my dreaming abilities. I am not in control. Jesus, take the wheel, because I am not there.
Dream. Oh, man. I wish one of us had a good one for a segue from that. But no, sadly. That's shit. That's real shit. I'm sorry about that.
Jesus took the wheel and drove us straight off a cliff.
That's, you know, well, that's what you, that's what happens when you put your faith in like a magical thing like a leprechaun or something. What's it gonna do?
Talking about music and driving made me think of that that scene in That 70s Show when you got Kitty singing
Bad Company.
Yeah, that's a great scene.
Till the day you die.
That's a great needle drop in a TV show right there.
Yeah.
But
that's a good one.
Speaking.
So, yeah, I guess for the listeners, what's a needle
drop? That's what I was going to ask you.
What are we considering a needle drop?
Yeah. What is a needle drop, Ryan?
Well, I'm not an expert. I would consider it's a song that already exists that was popular at some point, possibly. Not necessarily, but it existed outside of the movie that somebody uses in the movie to punctuate a scene.
Okay.
Usually not something designed for the movie, a la any Will Smith song. Something more like you would see in a Tarantino or a Scorsese. Those are people known for doing a lot of needle drops and very well known.
James Gunn comes to mind.
James Gunn's a very good one too. Mm-hmm. Or Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright.
Uh huh. There's a lot of them. Uh huh. But I think that's a needle drop is when something like that comes in, and I've always loved needle drops, and we can talk about this. I think they're a fun way to introduce you to new songs, potentially, in addition to just like really punctuating that scene in a nice way, maybe sometimes a weird, ironic way. It's sometimes just a good delivery system for music you might not have heard elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on needle drops all around? Do you have any thoughts on them? Do you pay attention to them in movies? Kyle.
I think needle drops, like all art, I feel, as most of us are artistic in some degree, I feel like kind of all art influences every other bit of art. Like, I know when I'm doing something creative, I'm also usually listening to music, and I feel people that write and direct movies are most likely doing the same, or they just have those special songs that hit for those reasons, and they incorporate that into what they're creating, because everything that you create generally has a piece of yourself within it. So I feel it's just a natural combination of things that somebody enjoys and influences them flows into the work that they make. So
I absolutely agree with that. And you hear a lot of stories about directors like Edgar Wright and James Gunn, who actually collaborated while they were writing Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Baby Driver to make sure there was no overlap in the soundtracks, because they both know how important the music is to the overall film experience. And man, when the right song hits at the right moment, it gives me chills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
yeah. A
lot of what went into when I was trying to come up with the perfect songs for this, perfect songs to put on my list for this, it was a lot of trying to think back on those moments, the moments that really just like gave me goosebumps or made me, you know, as soon as it hits, got me hyped or just really elicited some sort of emotion related to what was going on the screen in front of me. And it's unfortunately for me, like there's not a ton of those that happen. And sometimes like they'll hit and within a month, I forgot that that's something that I've experienced, but some of them just have stuck for a long time.
I can't wait to hop into some of these that have stuck for a long time and get into potentially why they stuck with you. Because honestly, I was the one taking up all of our choices behind the scenes, and we really didn't have a lot of overlap.
Okay.
There was one song that was taken by three of us. And there are some that some people might have taken, but otherwise we really just went in very different directions.
Excited.
And already peeking behind the curtains. I can't wait. We go in some fun places. And starting off, let's open with Mr. Life himself, Brian.
Let's get this one out of the way immediately. Three of us were trying to choose this song, and I beat everybody to it because I knew I wanted this song in my list. And that is from the aforementioned Mr. Edgar Wright's Shaun of the Dead, and it would be Don't Stop Me Now by Queen, in the scene where they are, of course, in the Winchester, having a pint, waiting for this to blow over.
Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. A ball. Don't stop me now. If you wanna have a good time, just give me a call. Don't stop me now.
Fantastic. They're just beating the shit out of the bar owner who has become zombified with their pool sticks. And it's just such a fun scene. And every time I hear that song, I think about that movie now.
It's also a great little precursor to Baby Driver.
Oh, absolutely.
I love the percussion when it starts hitting in the second verse. It's timed perfectly to them whacking whacks him, of the pool sticks. Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. And I easily could have done all four of my picks from Edgar Wright movies, but I chose not to.
Nice restraint.
It was really hard to really restrain from going to like the very easy ones. Very easy to pick all from one of those, or like I joked off air, I could have just gone all from Happy Gilmore. But I love that three of us went to go take that song. And I love how, like, what that says about our late teens, you know, early 20s, that era of our life, that scene and that song has just stuck with us for so long that three of us just immediately went there as that's got to be on my list.
Yeah. How iconic of a needle drop is that? That 75% of our show was like, we need to talk about this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't argue that. I agreed. And I assume all three of us were Queen fans, or at least heard
these
kind of big hits beforehand, right?
Yeah.
So this wasn't anything new for us. We were just already primed.
It's just a very good use of the song.
There's just really something. I love when, and we talked about what a needle drop is, but I love when it's just used to such perfect effect, where everything that's going on the screen is just the way they timed it so perfectly to the song Ryan already mentioned earlier. Like, it's, I will never erase that from my mind, and I'll never be able to. It's just like doo, 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 doo. So funny.
Yeah, that's a fantastic choice. I love it. I think that's a great way to start the episode. And, you know, like I said in our chat, I'm just glad somebody chose it. So thank you, Ryan, for being the sacrificial lamb and falling on that grenade.
Easy to do.
Knowing somebody here would. All right. With that, let's hop over to Sean.
Ooh, man. So I have to pick which one goes first, huh? All right.
I'll leave it up to you. Yeah.
Okay. Oh man, I thought this was gonna be an easy. Like, I was gonna be waiting on the edge of my seat. Like, oh, what's Ryan got lined up for me here? Ooh, what did I pick?
Oh, if you want to go this way, I could do that. No, no. That would be interesting and fun.
No, it's all good. My first song is going to be one that brings me back to, honestly, my last IMAX experience that I had.
Ooh.
And it is, man, I even looked up to see if this is like a talked about needle drop from this movie, and it's, there are two other ones that are talked about from this movie, and this is not one of them. I went with Bob Dylan's All Along the Watchtower, performed by Jimi Hendrix.
Nice.
From Watchmen.
Hell yeah.
Which is very interesting, considering the movie starts with The Times Are a-Changin', also by Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. And by this point, times have changed, and the more popular version of the song... Ryan, kick it off.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
Oh, man. I remember this playing when I was sitting in the theater and just... chills up my arms. This is a perfect example of the song really, like, the lyrics to the song matching up almost perfectly with everything that's going on the screen. And you've got Rorschach, you've got Night Owl, they're just like trying to break into what's his face's freaking Ozymandias's fortress, and you've got him just watching them on these screens. And man, dude, the feeling that I got while watching that scene, and just like the emotions that built up watching on this humongous IMAX screen, is just something that musically, I don't know how many times I'm going to be able to like feel that feeling again. It's really tough to replicate. I think that Watchmen, for, you know, love it, don't like it, whatever, it's a really long ass movie. Musically, there is so, like, the soundtrack in that movie is amazing. And this is just a song that I feel like everything fits perfectly, actually, yeah. Honestly, in Watchmen. Yeah. It really does. But this is the one that I'll always remember.
So am I to believe that you have not been to an IMAX movie since 2009?
That is correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
It could have been a 10-year re-release.
Oh, shit. I am a liar. I saw No Way Home in IMAX.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
I also did. I've seen most of the recent Marvel releases in IMAX.
That was like 3 years
until I moved
ago.
Here. Now I see them mostly in Dolby Digital.
I think I've only seen one movie in IMAX, and that was with Ryan, and I think that was Endgame.
Ooh.
Or Infinity War, one of them.
Also a good pick for IMAX.
That's
the only movie I've
awesome.
Ever seen in IMAX.
Wow.
I've lost count at this point.
Sarah and I often, like, the amount of times that Sarah and I will see a trailer for a movie and we'll look it up and say out loud, oh, we should go see that in IMAX, and then we never do. It's too many movies.
That's how I feel about most movies. Yeah. Like, oh, I should go see that, and then I never do.
Mm-hmm. Well, in all fairness, after about 6 days of you saying I should go see that, it's no longer
it's on Netflix. Yeah.
So. Oh man.
It's interesting that you didn't choose the Hallelujah.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
That was a close second there.
I'm just kidding.
That's the one I don't really like.
I agree.
I think Zack Snyder is very good about needle drops. That is the one choice where I'm like, I don't like this one.
Yeah.
Honestly,
this one makes me
feel made me
weird.
Very uncomfortable.
While thinking about all of the music in this movie made me want to watch the movie again. And that's also something that I haven't wanted to do since 2009. So... I think that says a lot about the music in that movie.
Yeah, the music also, I wonder if it's the perfect marriage, because Zack Snyder is a very visual director, say what you will about storytelling or whatever, but like the way the visuals and movie visuals and music just like coalesce, it's
yeah
he makes some very very amazing memorable moments, and yeah, this is one of them.
Yeah, I also love the My Chemical Romance cover of Desolation Row in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking as you of said, Dylan. The times are changing at the beginning. There's a lot of good needle drops in Watchmen specifically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't hear a lot from Kyle that round, so we're going to have to change that. Kyle.
Well, you know.
I want to hear from you, sir.
If you don't have anything. Well, first of all, when Sean said Watchmen, I heard Kingsman, and I was like, this was not in Kingsman. And I was very confused for a moment.
Oh, I meant Freebird.
There's some good needle drops in that movie,
like,
too, though.
Wait, Freebird was that fight. What is happening?
And then, it's my first Freebird of the show.
Rorschach, yes! So that's why I was very quiet, because I was very confused at first. But yeah, Ryan mentioned needle drops, and I had to get two choices in off the bat, because I knew Ryan would go for these, because when I feel or think of external music tie-ins, I, of course, to me, the king is Quentin Tarantino. What I love about Quentin, and I think all four of my choices for this episode are unique in that none of these songs were very famous, I think, before they were in the movies, and then... because of the movie, they kind of had a second life given to them. And one of those is this first track, which is a certified banger. And it sets up the nice fight between the bride and Little Miss Oren Ishii and her brutal gang very well. That is Battle Without Honor or Humility. Ah! Just grab you by the balls when those fucking trumpets hit, dude.
It does.
It blasts you. Yeah. You're paying attention. You're in the moment. That drum beat is just in that fucking pocket. Everything is popping. God, it gets the heart racing. And as Sean mentioned, the goosebumps are goosing.
It still slaps even after the Boss Baby used it in many other movies that shouldn't.
So many other movies.
It like, still slaps.
Similar to like the Matrix float kick. Once that came out and was popular, everything aped it. Mm-hmm. That thing was in every trailer, every game trailer. Yep. Anything that people wanted to look cool and stylish, that track was the new thing. But even if it's overused, I don't care. That thing slaps.
100%. Yeah.
Why do I feel 100%. Like it was in the "you wouldn't steal a car" anti-piracy ads, even though I know it wasn't? It makes me think of them.
I would totally put a pin download in that. A car.
We
by
will
the
come
way.
Back to that note. We are going to come back to that note later in this episode.
Oh, okay.
Stealing a car?
About if you steal a car, why would you steal a DVD? You wouldn't.
No, absolutely.
Like those pre-DVD ads that you'd get about anti-piracy, they'd have this song, and it's very similar to Battle Without Honor or Humanity, and something else that will come up later.
Is it the intro to Law and Order?
It's a meme.
But no, yeah, so as always, you know, I knew Ryan is my Tarantino boy, and also it's... If people want a spoiler alert for the rest of my list, go look at Ryan and I's original top five selections. You will not be very surprised that we made a decade ago almost, as long as this fucking show been running. Jesus Christ, fellas.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, Quentin Tarantino, king of it. Can't deny it. That one slaps.
That's a great pick.
Yeah. I love your choice. Love it, love it, love it. You had to take a Tarantino from Kill Bill.
Yes.
And Lock Me Out.
I did.
Huh?
You
did.
100%.
What a power play.
Yeah.
What a power play.
Again, because as soon as you said needle drop, I had two of the I had to have them. I was like, nope. Bada boom, bada boom. I sent it to you like immediately. I was like, these are mine. I'm taking them.
And they're respectable ones. They're respectable choices. All right. With that, I'm going to go ahead and skip my first turn. Because I've got a two-parter.
Okay.
So I'm going to let everybody go again, and then I'll do my two-parter.
Power damn.
So with that, should we just head back to Kyle, who has another one of the same ilk?
I say yes.
Also,
I'm happy
knock
we will.
It out. Probably also, since we're in this... Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, similar to the very first music episode you did, I think this played out similar, because... I didn't edit anything at all. I had my choices. I sent you my choices. But I know Brian and Sean, at least, you guys... Brian, you had a list of 15? Nice.
I think I had 15 at one point, yeah.
Sean, how many did you struggle with?
Well, so we have 4 for this show, right?
Yeah.
And then 1 for the bonus. I had 6 songs.
So not as much struggle as the first time. But as Ryan briefly... alluded to. Yeah, my second choice is also from Kill Bill. It's another one that's not well known, but when you hear it, you know exactly what's happening. You know exactly what the intention is. And whenever I see people I don't like, this song plays in my head every fucking time as I give them a death stare. Ryan, please. Almost there. It was still more the whap, 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 and then it hits that. But yeah, that whole fucking bit where it's just like, you know, when L Driver and the bride stare at each other from across that mountainside, and it just you just know these people fucking hate each other. Mm-hmm. The way that shit is hitting, you just I love you, Quentin Tarantino.
So
thank
good.
You. For your influences on my life. It's why I like to murder people with indiscretion.
Make me want to watch Kill Bill again.
Same. I haven't watched that movie since high school, I don't think.
Great music, if nothing else. So good.
The action's pretty great too. So, and music.
Yeah, I'm biased, but yes, it's pretty good. It's very good.
I'm just saying that great, if nothing else, doesn't really apply here because there's also great action.
I don't know where we're feeling about Tarantino because I know that it. All right, our love of auteurs is not universal anymore. We have a variety, so I'm not sure where we stand on Tarantino. Well,
I love Tarantino
anymore.
Still.
Well, I know.
I love Tarantino. The Hateful Eight's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
See, I love Tarantino, and The Hateful Eight's one of the greatest movies I've ever seen.
Did you just say agreed, Ryan?
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, he didn't like Hateful Eight either. I fucking loved Hateful Eight.
I enjoyed it. I wouldn't say I loved it, but...
Ugh. I left the theater thinking that I had just wasted 3 hours of my life and $12.
Oh, no, man. I was so enraptured. And I was balls deep on that flick.
That movie did a magic trick on me.
2.5 or 3 hours out of her way to see it in 70mm, too.
That's probably influential.
Well, yeah, that will definitely make you more disappointed in the end.
Yeah,
I remember sitting down in my seat, the movie starting, and seeing Channing Tatum in the opening credits. And then by the time he shows up in the movie, I forgot he was in it.
It's great, great trick.
I was so surprised. Yes. I was like, what in the world?
I do love every part that Channing Tatum's in. It's brief.
Yes, it's very brief.
But that is a really fun moment.
Yes. I'm just thrilled to like know somebody else that... Like, I always feel like the odd one out with that movie. And I'm just thrilled to know another person.
Solidarity, man. I am not a fan of Hateful Eight. I really do not like it. But, I love the killable choices, Kyle. Great, great picks, both of them.
Thanks for letting Quincy me steal Jones. Them from you, too. I appreciate that, buddy.
Can't say enough. Oh, of course. Of course. Again, I'm just happy they're talked about and other people dig it. So I appreciate that. Great.
I feel like Ryan, knowing that this episode was coming, had a list of about 18 just ready to cross some off as you guys started picking them. And he's still fine.
That's about right. Yeah. And I still have extras. Yeah. Uh-huh. I was ready to go.
That's great.
Let's hop back to Sean since we're just talking. What you got? And I know this puts you on the spot because you don't know where you're going with these. So
yeah,
I'm curious. What's your next pick?
I think the most difficult part of this whole ordeal is figuring out which four I want our normie non-paying listeners to hear and which one to lock behind the $1 paywall. Go to patreon.com/experiencegrindbur. For as little as a dollar, you'll hear my fourth song. So like figuring out which one I'm going to actually leave out is the most difficult thing here. But I should have started with like, Okay. All right. Okay, I did not expect to have a TV show on here, but I do.
Ooh.
And it is something that immediately came to me the second that Ryan said, Brian took Don't Stop Me Now. Like, he said, Brian already has that. I went back to the group chat, joked with you guys, and immediately went back and sent this to Ryan.
I'm sorry, and you're welcome.
I am not mad at all. I love Eastbound and Down.
Hell yeah.
It is a show that I discovered relatively late, probably when like the third season was coming out, and I couldn't stop watching that show. If you haven't watched it, dear listener, go watch it in some downtime once your severances are done and whatever shows else you're watching fit this in. Kenny Powers is hilarious. His buddy Shane is hilarious. And when Shane dies, Kenny, in the most douchebaggy of ways, brings a boombox out to play one song at his funeral to the chagrin of everybody there. Ryan, hit it.
Now maybe I did I mean to treat you bad, yeah, but I did it anyway. Now maybe.
And as you can imagine, if you've watched even part of this show, you've got Kenny just up there like rocking out as this starts getting progressively bigger, and also in that douchebaggy way being like, what are you guys doing? This is, you know, this is for Shane. It was like, it was the perfect song to have playing there and just have everybody getting riled up at him and him being like, why are y'all getting mad at me? He was my best friend. I should be the saddest. Like, and he's like parents of it, you know? It was the perfect choice of songs. It's not even something that I would listen to literally anywhere else ever.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't have done a better job picking something to play when he hit that button. And it was the easiest choice, actually easier than the other picks that I had. Which is weird considering it was, you know, the last one that wasn't on my list.
Brilliantly said, and I love that you have a song that you don't even really particularly like. Mm-hmm. It just really made the scene that much better for you. I think that's cool.
Yeah. It is so that's Kenny really Powers. Neat. It's not even funny.
It is.
That speaks so well to the character.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, hands down one of my favorite scenes of the entire series, just because of how good that music is in that situation. One of my favorite moments ever in that show.
Yeah, 100%. I wasn't able to stop snickering throughout the clip, just knowing how inappropriate it feels, thinking of the context of a funeral. It's so good.
Like, I'm going to go watch that episode later. Like, I'm so hyped right now.
All right, perfect. Another fantastic choice. With that, let's hop to Brian. You got another one for us?
I sure do. I have a song that, another one that's similar to the Queen song from the first round, that whenever I hear it, I think of a specific movie, and it's not one that comes up frequently, and I didn't even realize that it was a cover until doing this for gathering the songs for this, because I always assumed that it was the original Pink Floyd version. But there is the opening scene of Italian Job. Mm-hmm. After they have completed the Italian Job and they are traveling, you get Money in the background, originally by Pink Floyd, now being covered by Velvet Revolver. Money, it's a crime. And then it comes,
there's never enough time in the clips.
Right? And then the song comes back later at the end of the movie just to put a cap on everything. And it's just, it's so well done, and it always makes me think of it in a 2003 Mark Wahlberg movie that maybe not everybody loves, but holds a special place in my heart. it always stands out to me as just the right song for that moment.
This is wild. That's,
I'm glad you brought this one up.
It's wild. It's one of those that, like, you don't know it's a cover till like way later. Whereas I only know the Pink Floyd version, but they're like, another famous example to me is Istanbul was Constantinople by They Might Be Giants.
Right.
That's actually like a super old song that they covered. I had no idea. I love shit like that. That, like, I don't think that the Velvet Revolver version is going to surpass the Pink Floyd version.
No, at no point.
I think
point.
It is still a really good version. I mean, you got Slash killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the most iconic part of that song is that bass line.
The amount of times that we'll be listening to a song, or a song will come up in some situation, and I'm like, oh yeah, these guys absolutely killed this song. This is so great. Remember when this person did this version? And Sarah will be like, that's the original. And I just have no idea. Because
that's how I feel about Hallelujah in Watchmen. Is I'm like, this version of this song is terrible, but it's the original.
Yeah,
it's the original.
Yeah.
Who are you familiar? Who redid it? I'm not familiar with
Michael
the remake.
Bublé's then. Done Hallelujah.
I don't know Bublé's version, but whatever the one from Shrek is the one I'm most familiar with.
The one by Smash Mouth?
Rufus Wainwright covered it.
Oh, yeah.
That's why. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
also, I know I said earlier.
Smash Mouth.
Could have done all Smash Mouth. I was very close to just sending in Rascal Flatts' Life is a Highway 4 times.
I mean, I welcome this kind of...
I was like this close.
I don't know if that's a meta thing, but you know that's also a cover too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
He gotcha. He got where you're going with that.
Okay.
That's all right. I just said the baseline when we're talking about Slash. And
I know. I was just going to let it slide.
I was letting that go.
I love this choice. I love the Italian Job. I share your love for this movie. I love
both versions.
The Michael Caine one and the Wahlberg one. They're both fun. I did not remember this needle drop. So it was nice to go up, look this up on YouTube and find clips. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh yeah, this works.
Yeah.
It slipped my mind for some reason. But like I love that it stuck with you.
Big time.
I always heard that
and I love that you had to discover it was Velvet Revolver.
Whenever I hear that song, I picture that overhead shot of the van going down that long icy road.
Mm.
And I know that Donald Sutherland's time is short. Very.
I always nice. Thought that an Italian job was a hand job from a girl with very hairy arms.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Hey, we got one in. Let's go, boys.
Wow.
You were only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
I love that Kyle's just a walking, talking urban dictionary.
I'm just making that these up as good. I go. I have no idea if that's actually a thing.
It should be.
That's funny.
Man. Well, speaking of inappropriate sexual things, I want to talk about Zach and Miri make a
point. Okay. Yes.
And this is, when I was making my joke, like, yeah, I could do four from one movie easily. This movie and its needle drops really worked for me almost on all levels. So how Sean was talking about Watchmen, Zach and Miri worked for me on a lot of levels. And Kevin Smith's one who does not get enough credit. Maybe because his songs are not maybe as huge as some of the other songs that the other auteur directors choose. But I think he also knows how to do a great needle drop. And Zach and Miri, my first song is after they finally come together, Zach and Miri, and they are, you know, doing it. And I chose this knowing I was going to have to talk about this, and I still don't really know how I'm going to talk about this, but like they're making a porno and they finally film that scene, and it is been a bunch of tension between the two characters, and it's this final release, and the needle drop is Lives Hold Me Up, and it just works for me. But not the same way to me. Ooh, today. So, that's just like a small clip of it, but what I love about the song is there's like two very different intensities that are at play this entire time, this almost like very soft, gentle, like, mood, and then something very fast and aggressive, and it's almost like, hey, what does that mirror, what they're doing on screen? And it's, honestly, like I said, it's just this nice build-up, and like, when that final intensity hits, like, when they finally come together, it is... It's a scene that makes me get goosebumps every single time, and I fucking don't know why, but it works on me, and it works on me so well, and it made me go up look this song. This song was unreleased when this movie came out and was still not released for several years after, which made it very hard to find back in the pre-Spotify days. So, I don't know. I have a huge attachment to the song and the scene specifically. Do you guys remember the scene at all?
Very much so, because I remember they say like, we can't use that because you guys were just making love.
Yeah.
also just
yeah, and I think somebody on the side just goes like, "That was sweet" or something. Yeah, and
I think it's punctuates
it all.
What? Something Morgan. She's an actual porn star.
I can't
Katie Morgan. You. Katie Morgan. She's the one that's like, that's actually very sweet. But also just I want to say Live, super underrated band. Everybody should listen to Live more. They fucking rip. Absolute bangers.
Yeah.
What's another one of their big ones? I know.
I Alone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know subtitles. They have an album with like a lightning bolt. And I remember that whole album kicks ass.
Well, Lightning Crashes is probably their biggest song. That's the
one. That one.
Yep.
That's it.
That's the one.
Lightning Crashes.
Yeah.
But yeah, excellent.
And excellent film.
Terrific
Kevin Smith film.
Absolutely.
It is.
And that moment,
good thing
there is.
We're going to be talking about it for a second time because, like I said, I had a part two.
Double down.
I can't talk about that first part without talking about the second part, because what I think is equally effective is after they come together, we just have a lingering shot on Miri kind of processing it all, and the camera moves in as Blondie's Dreaming starts playing. Mm-hmm. And the rush of the drums is like the rush of the fluttering emotions inside. And it just perfectly, I think, syncs up with just like the feelings that are finally released. And we're seeing on Elizabeth Banks, who just does fucking phenomenally in the scene. But like the song just adds so much to it. So here's Blondie's Dreaming, the part two. And the song is, you know, about kind of this like love that's able to just transport you away from everything. You're dreaming. You're just like not even in the real world anymore. So it's like the perfect kind of like, not necessarily first love, but like that first feeling of like when you fall in love, I guess, more so. And it just, again, I don't know, things really makes the scene. So it's like a good 1-2 punch. You get like that rawness of Live and then this just sweetness of like Blondie at the end. And just,
it was very well done. I love that. It does, like, I know exactly the scene you're talking about with Elizabeth Banks, where like it's she gets flushed, and as the drums hit, it's matching with her flush, and just the understanding, like, oh hey, we just did that, and it was not what I expected. It was way more.
Yeah.
And props to Blondie. Also, fun Blondie fact: she had the very first hip hop single ever released in the world. Did you guys know that?
Oh, shit. What was it?
It was like, no.
I'll look it up. But yeah, she was the very first person to ever release a hip hop single.
Interesting.
Sarah showed me that a couple of months ago. I don't remember what it is, but she definitely pulled it up, and it is
Rapture.
Something.
It's not good,
but it's the
but
first.
It's the first. Yep.
Yes.
But yeah, it's called Rapture.
I actually forgot that song was in the movie. And
she chose
first. As it played, I remember the scene and was like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Excellent.
That means it made some kind of connection.
Yeah, it was definitely, it flashed something in my brain and recalled the entire scene. And I was like, oh, that was a good moment. So it did its job.
Perfect. That's a movie that I need to revisit. I haven't seen that movie since it came out. And that's, man, that was like, I feel like the first coming of Elizabeth Banks. It was like that and Slither were so like back to back. And then also Role Models, all pretty much in pretty quick succession from each other. Yeah. And then it felt like there was a little bit of a gap in kind of what she was doing. But that was such a really good first string. Like Slither. Love Slither.
Yeah.
And this movie's fantastic. And it felt like she could really be a part of nothing that wasn't at least really good.
40-year-old virgin, too.
Yeah.
She's fucking
yes.
100%. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, she moved on to direct and produce behind the scenes, but yeah, She's doing well. She's just diversifying.
Mm-hmm.
Getting her hands all over.
Get it clean. You know, get that bag.
Seth Rogen's there. Around her.
Seth Rogen is
Seth
also
Rogen's
there.
Doing Seth Rogen things.
All right. Well, thank you guys for allowing me the part one and part two there.
Yeah, for sure.
With that, we're going to hop on and go back to Kyle. It's been a minute.
Okay.
From you. Let's hear your third choice.
So my third choice is another one from our earlier lists. It's a song that completely and perfectly captures the feel and the essence of this movie. It has this gritty neon undertone. It has vaporwave of the 80s, and it has this sort of indeterminate quality that you don't really know where it's from, but it gives you a feeling. And that is A Real Hero from the movie Drive with my homeboy Ryan Gosling. Also, romantically known as A Real Human Bean. Most people.
No, get out of here.
But I love that version of it too. If you say human bean, I love it. If you say human being, I love it. But the fact that it has that song about love while Ryan Gosling is contradictorily so robotic, but does become a real human being around.
He sprouts.
He does. He does sprout. I don't know. That song just, it fucking hits, man. When they're driving through the LA reservoir things. God damn, dude. It's so beautiful. Just that sunlight. Every time I hear it, it takes me to like that afternoon on LA, just driving through those fucking concrete tunnels. It's beautiful. And it's dystopianness. It's crazy how it works, but
there's something about that pulsing 80s vaporwave.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That just good stuff.
Yeah,
again, it relatively
will capture
unknown,
me like every time.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
I just did a complete rewatch of Stranger Things because I hadn't seen season 4, and I watched everything with subtitles, and it cracked me up that anytime anything happened down and music started playing and the subtitles, it said basically insert word synth. So it's like dramatic synth.
Dramatic synth.
Uplifting synth.
That's awesome. Depressing synth.
Yeah. Every single time it was some different emotion and
upbeat
it made me laugh
synth.
Every time.
What would you qualify
depressed
that
but
one
also
as,
slightly
Sean?
Horny synth?
Synth.
Driving synth.
Nostalgic
driving
synth.
Okay. Oh. I like that.
It's been a long time since I've watched that movie. I've only seen it once. Yeah.
Really? Man.
Yeah. So the needle drops, I don't really recall, but that definitely lines up with the vibe I remember from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. 100%. I think that perfectly encapsulates the vibe and feel. That kind of 80s neon aesthetic is perfectly represented in the visuals too, except slightly skewed because it is much more poppy and lighter than the darkness
right
underneath everything, which is also kind of the beauty and wonder of it.
Turn around and walk away from me right now before I kick your teeth down your fucking throat.
It's crazy.
God damn.
That's the same guy
Kyle,
that played Ken.
I won't call it human being. Stop making me. I don't care if you kick my teeth in.
Kyle is now drawing a bean with a nose and a mouth and arms.
Man.
And it's sexualized. That's weird.
What about a real killer bean? Huh?
What?
That's
he's drawing a Ryan Goslingum.
Oh my God. You're killing it with the bean jokes.
Oh man.
Oh, God,
the sprouting earlier did not go unnoticed. Wow.
I appreciate it.
All right. Let's hop to Brian then.
Okay.
The man with all the bean puns. Please tell me you've got a bean pick.
I do not have a bean pick, but I do have a pick that I really thought Sean was going to pick. Like, I really, with my whole soul, I was like, I'm going to send this to Ryan. He's going to be like, oh, Sean already got it. Or somebody already got this. But it was not taken.
I'm curious to which one.
Swerve, swerve.
And it is a song I almost chose from a different movie, too. Because it also appears in an Edgar Wright film. And I, like I said, I could have gone all Edgar Wright with this. But it seems more appropriate that this needle drop be recognized from where it is. Just fills my whole heart. And it is going to be from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Go ahead and hit play, Ryan. Tequila.
For the record, we were all dancing.
Every single one of us.
It's hard not to.
Kyle actually stood up and was doing the appropriate dance from the movie. That is Tequila.
On your butt.
You have to. Tequila by the Champs. Mm. And man, that biker bar scene is iconic. And every time I hear Tequila, I think of that. I do sometimes think of the shootout in Baby Driver, but I always go back to Pee-wee.
I feel like you underestimate how much I now want to forget the Caped Podcasters episode that I was on for that movie, and that you picking that song and me getting happy about it was then immediately combated with a feeling of embarrassment.
Oh no.
Oh no. That exists. That's a fantastic pick. I didn't even think of that.
It just fills really me with joy that he convinced an entire biker bar to not kill him by doing a sweet little dance on a table.
With them killer white shoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And full up ass white tips. Tuxedo and a red bow tie. Like, come on.
Mm. And then cut immediately to him walking out wearing the leather jacket and jumping on somebody else's motorcycle and driving it through the sign. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Paul Rubens.
Yeah. That might be like one of the earliest needle drops of my life.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah.
Memory wise.
Huh.
That or Forrest Gump?
Possibly.
One of them.
Forrest Gump's probably the one I remember. Yeah.
There's so many in that movie, too.
Yeah. So many. The soundtrack to that movie is like CCRs. Two discs.
Yeah.
Or nine cassette tapes, depending on how old you are.
I love Tequila. I think that's a fantastic choice. When you said it immediately, like, that scene started playing in my brain. And I've seen Baby Driver more often and more frequently, but still, it is Pee-wee's Big Adventure. It's that one scene that pops up whenever I hear Tequila.
That movie owns that song now.
Mm-hmm. Has just become, intertwined, and you can't disconnect them in my brain. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a perfect choice.
Yeah, that's a fantastic pick.
Oh, with that, we're gonna play Russian roulette over here again with Sean.
I thought you were gonna play Russian roulette with me, and whoever lives had to go next. Somebody get to Ryan's house and send me his file, please. Oh, okay. I think I have come to the conclusion of which one our loyal, faithful, delightful, my favorite people in the world will hear. You're going to be disappointed, probably. I don't know. It's a lot of build up here. But for this one, I'm going to be going a little bit more recent here to a movie that's a little bit newer, but the music in it is very much so older. 2013's American Hustle is a pretty amazing flick to me, and is like the soundtrack is it's another thing that's kind of like Watchmen, where just the soundtrack is just jam-packed of, well, like my jams, right? A lot of 70s poppy, like Steely Danny kind of stuff, already right up my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And that is a fun crime movie. If you haven't seen it, it's a lot of fun. But it gets to a point where, has everybody seen it? Mm-hmm. Anybody?
I've seen it once, but I don't remember it at all.
It's got okay. very method fat Christian Bale.
Yes, he gained like mm-hmm. 40 pounds for that. But it gets to a point where they get to, I don't know, this party, like this casino party, and a lot of people are kind of coming face to face in a really tense situation. And while the rest of the movie has this great kind of upbeat soundtrack, you have this song kind of playing through as everybody's coming together. And man, you could cut off entire slices of just uncomfortableness. And oh, I think it's so perfect for this scene. And it is going to be stuck with me for a long time. Ryan, hit it. So it's just so, oh man, sitting there and just knowing that everything can crumble at like the tip of a cap, and you've got Rosalind, who is very capable of just burning everything down. Oh man, it's just like that. That feeling that I get watching that and hearing that, and goosebumps right now. Love it.
I think this is another great choice. I love American Hustle. David O. Russell, I think, is the director. Can do no wrong with me. Is it David O. Russell?
Yep, it is.
I'm getting looks.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I remember this scene specifically. As soon as you sent it in, it's another one that just immediately came up. Like Brian, I couldn't remember much about this movie other than I saw it in the theaters and really enjoyed it. But then you sent this in and it's like, oh, I can remember the montage this is set to. It's like coming crystal clear to me now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, again, the power that does it. There's something about the moroseness to like the song. It's like just, there's a little bit of happy to Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, but it's like got this undertone of sadness and just moroseness.
Yes.
And like it perfectly ties into like how everything's going on in the movie.
And like everybody just such a good point. In that montage, just getting ready and showing up with just like this, like just flat line. You know, like picture a person as a flat line, everybody showing up, and there's just the solemnness, and it just frames everything so perfectly. And it's not even that long. Sometimes you can have one of these drops go on for way too long, but this is just only a, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds worth of time going on, and then it just cuts off. It almost leaves you wanting more, but also, please get this over with.
Always play more Elton John for me.
Yeah.
Oh. I pulled up the soundtrack for that movie, and it is loaded.
It's a really good one.
It's nuts.
Yep,
good stuff.
Go back to it.
We have to revisit that movie for sure.
Man, Ryan, I adore that you did this. I think I messaged you that, like, This is the hardest. These are always the hardest things for me to just pinpoint the exact perfect ones that I want. But at the end of the day, I'm so satisfied.
Yeah.
I just love the way that we can branch this stuff out. It's such unique new stuff to even think about that I'd never even thought of. And then twice you've brought fun ass musical episodes that I had no idea how would work. And they're a blast, man.
Mm-hmm.
100% agree.
Well, thank you, everybody. I will probably do it again because I have a lot of fun with these too. And if it helps the anxiety, my thought is always there can be a part two if there's bleed over.
Sure.
And there's very much enough for like a part two.
Well, that makes making choices a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could always revisit these.
And also, big shout out, kudos to Sean. Listeners, give Sean a shout out and give us a dollar on Patreon, because this dude edits all of these songs into the episode after this. These are not happening live. Sean's going to go back and do all this extra work for you, the listener. So give him a kiss.
But actually, I was about to give the listeners a shout out and say, hey, if you've made it this far and you're enjoying all of this, I want to hear some of your favorite needle drops.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yes.
I'll bring this up again at the end of the show, but like right now, go to that Discord. Find the Discord link in the show notes. Head on over to the Patreon and comment on the one that's going to be on there, because we're each going to have a bonus one on that as well. So
I definitely have some honorable mentions to bring up over there on the Patreon too.
Nice.
Yes, and just thank you in general for listening. We greatly appreciate you sticking around with us for this long and indulging us. And you know what? You're going to continue indulging me a little bit longer because I think I'm next.
Yeah.
I think in the order. All right. I've lost track.
You are the captain now.
Trying to keep up.
Yeah.
I'm the captain now. It's a Captain Phillips needle drop, which is crazy.
Oh, wow.
Because it's, just like ambient glass rim music, I guess. I don't know.
That movie fucked
me up. I don't remember
up.
That music in the, I don't know.
But next coming up from the aquatic life.
Man, I came real close to having a Life Aquatic pick. Which is almost Captain Phillips, the scene I was going to do, but I did not go that way. Instead, I went obscure because I can't help myself.
Titanic.
But I also had to go to the TV side and do something from TV.
Near, far.
Far is where I am from middle. And that's okay. One of the shows I've always really loved for its uses of music, and honestly, I'm gonna get some shit. Whatever, Zach Braff
yes.
and Scrubs.
Yes,
I loved, and Scrubs
that was
is
on my
so
mind.
Good with its.
It was
music.
On my list.
And I could have gone to Garden State because I think Garden State also does some really beautiful needle drops.
Absolutely,
for whatever issues are with the story or Zach Braff, and I know there are issues. The music's always so good, but I think this was started in Scrubs, and Scrubs gave him, I think, a template to go off of when it came to needle drops. And there are so many ways to go in Scrubs, and I could honestly do 4 picks just from Scrubs.
Easily.
Thank you. I'm so glad Brian knows about Scrubs and is sharing this.
I don't know why you thought you would get hate. I think I love Scrubs too. Scrubs is a great show.
I adore Scrubs.
Yeah.
You got it across the board, dog.
Okay.
Yeah, dog. You're golden,
cool.
Pony boy.
I don't know. All right. Well, awesome. I did not. All right. Yay. I really anticipated some Braff pushback. And whatever.
He's got a punchable face. That's it.
I'm jealous that he got to date Florence
Pugh. Those T-Mobile commercials and the Florence Pugh stuff. Yeah, he's pushing it. He's pushing it.
Don't make me hate
but
him.
But when
right?
Braff was good, was early Scrubs. And one of the things that almost always stuck with me was the season 2 opener. At the end of season 1, a lot of the relationships are kind of left up in turmoil. Turk and Carla are fighting. JD and Elliot are scrapping. Everybody is just miserable. And the opening is a Men at Work Colin Hayes doing Overkill. And it is one of my favorite things in all of the show. It's just this nice little welcoming back into the show. It kind of sets you up where everybody is, which, again, not a great position. And the whole time you have Colin Hayes as an actual member in the show. So you get the needle drop, but you also have Colin Hayes playing acoustic guitar in like the Scrubs magical realism kind of way, which is great. But he goes through the whole hospital cycle, meeting the start of the patient through when they finally wrap him up and push him into the morgue. And it's this really cool scene, all punctuated by a song that I fell in love with and made me seek out Men at Work after this. So again, this is Colin Hayes, Overkill.
Night after night, my heartbeat shows the fear. Ghosts appear and fade away. Come back another day.
So good.
And that's it. Yeah, I kind of shot my load in the opening there, so I don't have much to say on the back.
I remember that scene or that whole montage very well. that coming back from season two. I just did a Scrubs rewatch, like I finished it maybe 2 months ago.
Wow.
How many seasons are there? I need to go back and do it.
9, but only 8 that count.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think 8, but yeah, there is that 9th season.
There's that 9th season that you should just not bother with.
It's wild that you didn't think any of us would like Scrubs, because I think that whole scene is one of the more artistic things that I've seen in a television show. The way that they do incorporate the guy. And you kind of have to have seen Scrubs to really get it, to know that, like, the blending of reality and JD's imagination and the way that it just flows perfectly into that and works throughout is just, it's great artistic flair and vision. It's a beautiful thing throughout.
And it has the benefit of him being on screen singing the song, so it didn't get replaced when all the music rights went out the window.
Yeah, there you go.
That's great.
So if you watch it on, like, Hulu, where a lot of the music has been replaced, unfortunately, you still get that scene. Shit.
Boo.
It's so wild to me that shows... this is slightly off topic, but it's so wild to me that shows who license music don't... Especially in like the last 20 years, don't do it in perpetuity to just like make sure that it's always going to be preserved.
Yeah. Since the advent of streaming, it should be a thing more often.
I feel like Mr. Incredible, though, when he's like, music is music. It's in the scene. It should stay in the fucking scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you already paid for it, you know?
Yeah,
it's,
dude.
Like, if I go buy a DVD box and I get all the original songs, why is it different if I'm watching it on Hulu?
100%.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. What, now Hulu has to pay that fee? Or, like, what?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's complicated, and I can't pretend to understand how it all works, but...
Yeah.
Damn it, give me the regular music. The original
music. But I know you can do that.
As intended by Bill Lawrence.
Pony up the money.
Yep. That's it.
God damn.
Well. I'm glad that was not a contentious choice. So, thank you all. With that, fuck it. Shotgun. I'm pretending like this is a wheel that is actually going to stop randomly, but it's just Brian. I looked at Brian.
It's me. Okay, yeah. I also was ready to roll with all movie picks when the idea of TV was introduced, and like when you first pitched this, I was like, okay, needle drops, got it. 4, easy. And then you said from movies and TV, and I went, oh god, now there's thousands. But I chose one. I decided that I definitely had to have at least one TV needle drop in my set. And every little boy dreams of his future wedding. I always thought that this song would be the first dance at my wedding. So when it was used in this show at first, I was like, oh, that's really neat, because it's been used twice in the show. You know what? I'll tell you what the show is after we listen to A Groovy Kind of Love by Phil Collins.
Wouldn't you agree?
Tarzan, the animated series, right?
Tarzan, the animated series. Yeah, no, it's actually New Girl. New Girl.
I love this show.
I love that show.
I'm so happy this is in here.
After we finished our rewatch of Scrubs, we did New Girl. So this is also very fresh. But season 1, episode 3, Jess is new to the apartment. She's kind of got some tension with a lot of these guys. One of the guys is trying to get back with his ex. It's a whole thing. They go to a wedding. And at this wedding, they want Jess to be cool because they want to make this guy's ex jealous. And they tell her that she cannot do the chicken dance. No matter what, you can't do the chicken dance. And at the end of the episode, you know, everything happens the way it will in TV. And people are like, oh, we shouldn't make you be somebody you're not, blah, blah, blah. This is the song that's playing when Nick is like, come on, Jess, let's dance. And they start slow motion chicken dancing at this wedding, and it's so good. And it's like, all right, these guys are gonna be all right. I know it's episode 3, but I have faith in these damn kids. And then the song comes back in season 7, episode 7, and spoiler alert, it is the song that plays at Nick and Jess's wedding.
Aww.
And when I saw this, I got a little upset. I was like, damn it, that's my song. I was like, why are you taking my song, new girl? And I, because I had completely forgotten by that point that it was in season 1, because, you know, it's been 7 years. And now, mm-hmm. watching it all over the course of a few months, I'm like, oh, of course it had to be that song. But, like, it's just, it's a memorable moment for sure. Because the first time, well, the second time I heard it on the show, I was like, son of a bitch.
What a cute little bow.
But, yeah. That is
yeah.
A Good Kind of Love by Phil Collins.
One of only two Phil Collins songs I like. So, good job on that one, too.
Oh, dodged a bullet.
Knocked it on the park. While you're talking about that, I had this thing in my head where you're like, yeah, they're telling her not to do the chicken dance. And in my head, I go, nobody puts Jess in the corner.
That's right.
And then I thought of Dirty Dancing and immediately kicked myself.
Oh, so many. Right? You're right.
No, wait, right. That's the name of the movie. That didn't count.
No. Yeah, that's a different one. That's also Footloose.
Well, I said could have done Footloose. Dirty Dance. And then I was like,
oh, okay.
From the movie. But then I was like, wait, that's the
My
name of the movie.
My favorite song in Dirty Dancing is Footloose.
Was the name of the movie named after the song, or was the song named after the movie? It's a real orange
conundrum.
Kevin
Bacon gets me hot in that flick.
An Ouroboros. Oh. He gets you hot?
Yeah, it's Kevin Bacon. Come on.
Yeah.
I guess I don't remember it too well.
I was going to say, I feel like I just watched something with Kevin Bacon in it, but I'm pretty sure he was just in the audience for the SNL 50.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You
guys
I
ever
feel like I just saw Kevin Bacon in something.
Kevin Bacon kind of just looks like, I don't know, a skull, but like if the skull still had the fleshy bits on it.
All I know.
Next time you see him, think about that.
I think that's also just like,
I think
old man. It's human in general.
Humans.
He's always looked like that. Go back to Footloose, and he looks like that, but with long hair.
He's a skeleton with skin.
Oh, you're probably not wrong.
There's an episode of American Dad where Roger gets the Rick Baker celebrity nose kit, and he puts on the Kevin Bacon nose. And number one, it does look crazy like Kevin Bacon for Roger. But what's even better is after that episode, for like a decade, that picture of Roger with Kevin Bacon's nose was Kevin Bacon's profile pic on Twitter.
That's hilarious.
It's so fucking good, dude.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
Kevin Bacon's real one.
Yeah, he's so fucking great. I love that guy.
Fantastic.
Also, I love that, that none of that was about Kevin Bacon, but we talked about Kevin Bacon way more than your Phil Collins song. So.
Way too long.
Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah.
I'm not upset.
That
doesn't
get back. I love this pick. I watched New Girl all the way through as it was coming out. I love Nick, love Jess, love Winston, love Schmidt. I love all of them, Cece. They became so close to me, and I did not even realize this was a callback to that first episode until you sent this in, and then I looked it up.
Yeah.
I remember it as the wedding song, but I did not remember the slow chicken dance. This was the song.
I had also forgotten, and then I was like, until the rewatch, and I was like, oh, son of a bitch, that's actually perfect. I can't even be upset about it anymore.
It's beautiful, and how dare they take that thunder from me?
How dare they? I'm a 37-year-old man. My time is coming.
When's it going to be my time, Lord?
37! All right. Let's go back to Sean.
All right. So
I think this is 3 now.
Oh, this is 4.
Yeah.
4. Oh, it's 4.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I get to pick between 2 now. And
this
what I'm going to say is one of mine is a callback. Calls back to an earlier song, but I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to make you wait until Patreon. It's going to be there.
Patient.
He's hinted at it.
Yeah. My final one at it. Oh, I haven't hinted at it because that's this one. I've already said the name of the song in this episode.
Woo-hoo!
And okay. Ryan,
Celine Dion's
I'll heart. Talk about Come the movie on. After. Ryan, why don't you hit it?
This is the one you've... All right, just so I don't skip it, you've said the name in this episode. Yes. All right, now I'm going to play it.
Yep.
I hope I'm right.
Yep. So, much like what Brian said earlier, that he was going to do, what is it, Life is a Highway 4 times?
Yeah.
I joked with Brian that I could do Freebird 4 times from 4 different movies. But that was kind of a joke because 3 other movies weren't even going to be on my list. This one is. Imagine I'm not even in the picture, but the 3 of you just ended this bloody, violent.
Hell yeah. Cop. I was hoping it was this one, man. I was fucking hoping it was this
one. Yeah, vigilante streak. And you know your time is coming. And you're just going to go out guns a-blazing.
Goddamn right.
Lynyrd Skynyrd, Freebird, from the end of Devil's Rejects. It just is the perfect end of that movie. Like as soon as like the first chord hits and he hands out the guns and you just know they're going out in a blaze of glory, you are like, fuck yes, holy shit, here we go. Perfect end of that movie. Say what you will about the rest of it, whatever, I love that movie. Perfect ending of that movie.
I
also really enjoy Devil's Rejects. It's the only one of that ilk that I enjoy. I drug Ryan to watch the very last one, and it was a very terrible experience just because the movie fucking sucked. I had a good time hanging out with Ryan.
It's always worth it.
Yeah.
I was hoping it was going to be this one because I'll jump ahead. My next one is actually Freebird. From Willy's Wonderland. It's not. Oh. That would be awesome, right? If we all ended with a different Freebird from a movie.
Yeah.
Would
have been
pretty excellent.
No, it is poetic. It's one of the best things Rob Zombie ever did. One of his most artistic endeavors was the end of that movie with Freebird. It's absolutely fucking perfect.
It is like the one time that I'd be like, oh yeah. Rebel fist up. Yeah. But it just perfectly fits their mission from the beginning to the end, as one by one, the family is just getting smaller and smaller. And they got what bit of revenge they can. And then it's just like, okay, well, we're going out our way, sticking up that finger and taking as many of you down as we can with you. So, yeah.
I don't think a better song encapsulates that than something from Lynyrd Skynyrd themselves.
Yeah, right. Right. Man, I'm so glad you didn't accidentally play the other song because I was not ready to talk about that.
Really had to, yeah, make absolutely sure.
But you, listener, if you want to know what it is, you know where to find it.
It's Patreon.
/ Experience Grind.
Look at that. What a team. All right. I think that bit.
It's me and you, I think.
That's Kyle. Yeah, me and Kyle. So we'll hop to Kyle.
So I'm not going to introduce mine because even though Ryan will play it, I don't think you'll recognize it by the name of the band or the song. But I want to see the reaction when the music hits, because I want to see if you guys place it. I feel there's 100% you will not place it, but let's start with that, and then we'll discuss. Ryan, please.
So yeah, in my opinion, the absolute greatest shootout gunfight scene ever put to film still is the lobby shootout in the original Matrix, from the way it starts with Neo walking through the fucking metal detector to the security guard looking at all of his guns and going, holy shit! And then this fucking beat just hits. And then, dude, just the way the fucking pillars blow up, you got Trinity kickflipping all over the place, Neo sliding, hitting dudes with shotguns.
Hell yeah.
God damn, it just, even just that small section, I have goosebumps again because I'm just taken to that fucking chaotic scene of magic. Thank you, Wachowskis. I love you, beautiful, beautiful women.
Amen.
Yes.
That was one of the first soundtracks to a movie I owned. Mm-hmm. And man, that song hits, and it hits hard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that scene is iconic, and I love it. And I can't think of another place I've ever even heard that song
exactly
anymore.
All right. So this was when I said pin it earlier for the you wouldn't steal a car.
All right.
So why would you steal a DVD?
Fair. It's very similar to that too.
I think they aped this music hard.
Probably.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no. I only have heard this for that lobby shootout, which is the money shot of the Matrix for me. Like, that's when I was a dumb kid. You'd watch a movie for, like, the thing that would happen.
Yeah.
And the thing that would happen for me in The Matrix was the lobby shootout. And when this music hit, you knew you were in for, like, honestly, a good rest of the movie. Like, from here on, solid gold.
Yeah.
Not, like, no more exposition. We're just payoff, payoff, payoff.
It's that sink into your seat moment, like, all right, here we go.
No, this is a great choice. I love this.
I didn't watch The Matrix, the OG, until many years later, but I'll tell you that if I did watch that back when it came out, I would have been listening to that every morning, waiting for my school bus to show up on my Walkman, just blasting that on repeat, going back until that whole it started soundtrack skipping, was... and I wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah, true that too. But yeah, that whole soundtrack was choice.
I stand by it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I still listen to it. It's a good soundtrack.
I have the CD somewhere in my house. I don't sure know do where, too. But
it's probably right next to your Sonic and Knuckles.
I know exactly where that is.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I think that's going to have me close out. And I'm going to go with another one that I'm not going to talk about what movie it's from yet. I also want to just start with the song. You're gonna know who it is. I'll say it after it. I'm just gonna hop into the song. And then you can sail away a couple dozen more times after that. But that's Anya's Orinoco Flow, or Sail Away. Mm-hmm. And this song, light, soft, ethereal. You can picture like harps and like fucking white sheets flapping in the gentle breezes with like springtime hills. And it's just like so peaceful and soft. And then David Fincher's like, I'm going to put this in a real fucked up torture scene and just really play with like emotions and thoughts. And The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is a movie that I know not a lot of people love. I had seen like the foreign trilogy before this one ever came out. I really liked them a lot even before we got this one. And I think what David Fincher does is a lot of fun here too. He is a music video director by heart, and this one opens with like a really great Yeah 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 cover of like the Immigrant Song, which has like very black tarry people and figures emerging from like this tar thing, and it's just like gross and oppressive and nasty, and like that's what David Fincher does so well. And I love this scene. This scene's so good. This scene, if you've not seen the movie, to spoil, it is a mystery movie where Daniel Craig and I want to say
Rooney Mara. Is this Naomi Rapace in this one?
This is that's the foreign the one, the ones. Swedish one, I think. Yeah, or
the Swedish ones.
This one was Rooney Mara. I think shaved two very different off. Movies.
Yeah.
But like both really good. I think they both do very interesting things with this character of cannot remember her name.
Lisbeth
Sanders. Yep,
Lisbeth Sanders. Right. It's funny, dude. I literally watched the torture scene from this movie today because it came up on YouTube compilations.
No
so
shit.
So fucking hilarious that you are talking
wow.
about it too.
This scene stuck with me immediately. Like again, having been familiar with like the other version, watching David Fincher's version, this is what I was looking for. Is like, how are you, what are you doing differently? Well, I want to see how you come at this in a different way. And then this scene hits and it's towards the end, but it's so fucking good and clever. And it just plays with the formula. And Daniel Craig finally kind of figures out who the murderer is. He thinks it's Stellan Skarsgård and goes to like interrogate him in person. But because of like the Always Sunny implication and how people are like more afraid of offending people by being rude and pulling away from a weird or awkward conversation, Daniel Craig just like further goes into it until he gets subdued and captured by the killer. When he wakes up, he's like hanging bound and gagged and like about to be tortured and weird shit, and Stellan Skarsgård walks in and just starts playing Orinoco Flow, and it's the most perfectly unsettling song to play at this moment, because like we've seen kind of just how put together and composed Stellan Skarsgård's character is and just how much he's hiding, how restrained he is. And to hear this, it's just it brings up a level of disconnect that perfectly encapsulates, like, I think, the character as well as like the moment and all of it. And it's stuck with me ever since. And if I had any wishy-washy feelings on Girl with Dragon Tattoo, I didn't. This would have pushed it over. I love this needle drop.
Movies that put something like that just kind of over a scene that's just such a stark contrast, like that, like you said, ethereal and it's almost soothing, juxtaposed with like something that's visually just so visceral and fucked up, is just a surefire way to. Right in here, it's going nowhere.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that movie is just absolutely chock full of some really fucked up shit. Like that, the whole story in general.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I know, like a girl with tattoos. Ugh. Scandalous. God.
Ugh. One of them's a dragon. And dragons are, you know, the devil's playthings.
No, those nipple piercings are.
Shh. Save that for the Patreon, Sean.
My bad. Lock that behind him.
Perfect. Well, thank you all for indulging me in another music episode. I'm thankful that you were able to scrape together your thoughts and put something together for this. I loved all of your choices, and it was such a delight to see like all the different needle drops and like how they've impacted you all in different ways. And like, finally, I was sitting on like what you have picked for like a day to a couple days now, but like hearing your explanations now, I really like having that context and getting to better piece together you guys. So this is good. I love that. And again, just thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you for doing this homework assignment for me.
I also love the wide array of genres.
Yes.
Like these songs came from.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was almost as fascinating to just see what songs were like, where they were cherry picked from.
Yeah, 100%.
Definitely.
Yeah. So
we contain multitudes.
We have depth. We got layers.
Like
we're human beings.
Hallelujah.
We are human beings.
We're ogres. Kyle, are you next week?
I am next week. And we've known about it for 4 weeks now, but this is new to the listeners.
New-ish. I've left it in some things.
We're kind of, you know, again, we're getting more experimental. We're going back to some of the roots. We're going video game next week. Not only video game, but retro video game. I have struggled my whole life to get past level 2 of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles NES game. Have never done it. Have been trying for 3 weeks. Still have not done it. I've been trying at least once a day for 30 minutes. That's my time. God damn this fucking game. Not to give too much away for next week. It's going to be a brutal roasting. So you're going to want to come. You're going to want to stick around. It's going back to the grind roots. I have been grinding my ass off on this game and not making any progress. So it'll be interesting to talk about. I think it'll also be sort of a toss back to some of the episodes Sean and I flirted with in the early days too, where we did a lot of like a history lesson, like our Game Genie episode. Cause I think we can't not talk a lot about the development and just game creation with this game. So it'll be a fun talk. But if you want, you have a week's notice to download an you wouldn't download an NES simulator, would you? Yeah, you fucking would. So yeah, TMNT for the NES is my choice for next week.
You wouldn't steal a turtle.
Yes, I would. I'd steal four of them.
Yeah, and I'd raise them as ninjas.
Or I'd steal three of them, except for that one that I don't like.
Tune in next week to figure out which one it is, folks.
But if you are itching for a little bit more content, you're missing our sweet, sweet voices. You really enjoyed this episode. Tune out on Friday. Gonna hear some more sweet, sweet music and tunes and us chatting. We've shouted out like, I don't know, 3,000 times this episode. But Patreon is where like a lot of extra bonus stuff lives. You know, you're looking at over an hour extra a month of content on there. So head on over there. Check it out. Kyle, I don't think you posted up that picture that you drew last week.
Because I'm going to do it Friday when the episode drops.
Oh, I'm an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoops. So a couple of days ago from now, that picture will have gone up. Yeah. Ryan, I'm going to send it back to you.
Well, with that, I guess I get to tell the listeners what to do. And as always, I like to keep a little bit more positive. So go out, listen to a song you love, just really, really enjoy it, and go enjoy yourself.